Welcome to the beginning of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Why don't we begin with a word of prayer, asking the Lord to help us. Father, we do pray that you would help us during this time to learn what you would have us to learn from the Apostle Paul. We pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the power of Satan to be blocked. And we pray, Father, that your word would go forth and change us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this first lesson is a little bit of background material, which we hope will be helpful to you in terms of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. We recall that the Babylonian Empire was followed by the Medo-Persian Empire, which was followed by the Greek Empire, which was followed by the Roman Empire. We are aware of all these various empires, and we recognize the Babylonian Empire occurred first and involved such people as Daniel, Ezekiel, the removal of Judah to Babylon. This was followed by the Medo-Persian Empire, who took over, if you'll recall, during the time of Daniel, and then there was a return to the nation of Israel. The Greeks followed that empire and replaced the Medo-Persians and brought Greek culture and Greek language. More recently after that was the rise of Rome, and at the time of Paul, it was Pax Romana. The Romans controlled basically all the area around the Mediterranean Sea. At that time, there were belief in demons. Demons were creating problems everywhere in the life of the people. They were believed by the barbarians, the civilized, the rich, the poor, and the Jews themselves believed in the presence and power of demons. Now, this in current days has been often poo-pooed, although more recently I think people are becoming aware of them again, certainly as I was in Liberia and even more so in Suriname, South America, for 26 years, we confronted demonic problems quite frequently. During this time, a great deal of magic was there, with incantations and even human sacrifice from time to time. There were many, many religious rites that were immoral. The so-called mystery religions often were extremely superstitious. They had filthy rites that occurred. They were vile. They were sexual during that period of time. And so many turned away from them because of the fact that they were so vile. There was also the amphitheater. The amphitheater where people killing each other or killing animals as a brutal sport. Even respectable people endorsed it or indifferent to it. And this mentality spilled over not only from the amphitheater to the theater and other forms of entertainment and recreation where immorality was rife. Slavery was an embedded process at this point in time. Slaves had no rights. In many cases, there were some that did have some rights, but this was a class system. It was not, by the way, an issue of skin color or race. We in the United States have a tendency to think, okay, slaves, talk about the black people, talking about those who were brought from Africa. But there were many very educated slaves. One group would capture another. You might have your own doctor as a slave, or someone who was a lawyer, very highly educated individuals, because you have captured them. In general, the slaves had no rights, and they had no recourse, and the master's word was law. Thus, it was a defiled, filthy society, and the people matched that quite well. Now, because Rome was important in the time of Paul, we'll just look briefly at the history of Rome. The Etruscan city of Veii was invaded about 400 years before Christ, and then Rome got further strength when they intervened between a conflict in Sicily, and then became in a conflict with Carthage on the North African coast, and there were two lengthy Punic Wars, 264 BC to 241 BC, 21 years, Punic War number one, Rome and Carthage. Punic War number two, 216 BC to 202 BC. And finally, at that point, the African leader Hannibal, remember he's the fellow who took elephants even across the Alps, was defeated at a place called Zama in North Africa. Just a few years later, 7 years later, in Macedonia, Greece was freed at that point in time, and this was also an important time. Rome became involved in the Seleucids. Remember that the Seleucids, the Seleucids were fighting against the Syrians. They fought the Seleucids in 192, and actually slipped in to help Judas Maccabeus in 168 BC, and received Pergamum as an ally in 132 BC. As we jump to the time just less than a century before Christ, there was a long war in Pontus from 88 BC to 63 BC against Mithridates the VI, and then Pompey, the great general, won Asia and occupied Judea in 63 BC. Some 30 years later, Antony and Cleopatra were defeated by Octavian. Originally, remember that Julius Caesar was assassinated, then Antony and Octavian were together, and then Antony and Cleopatra defeated Octavian, who later took the name Augustus Caesar, and kept the outward form of Roman government with a Senate of 300, but he contained the main real power, 27 BC. Rome remained in control until problems occurred with Constantinople in the 4th century, and of course, in the 7th century, Islam began to show its strength. Now, during this time, under Cyrus, and that is going back again to the time of the Babylonians and then the Medes and Persians, there was a temple state. The government was controlled by a governor who controlled income, and the local head was a high priest. This system went on until for a couple hundred years until the breakup of the Alexandrian Empire, and Alexander the Great, you'll recall, died in his early 30s, and his government was split among four people, with the Ptolemies and the Seleucids fighting each other for the next many years. We find actually this prophesied in the book of Daniel. The Seleucids had major control under Antiochus the IV, and then he was defeated by a local group of priests from the Jews under the leadership of Judas Maccabeus, the Hammer, and 20 years later they became under Hasmonean king priests until 63 BC, at which point they became under Rome. A bit later, in 6 AD, Judea became a Roman province with a secular Roman governor. but under the high priest and the Sanhedrin. The high priest and the Sanhedrin wanted to maintain good terms with the governor, but there were times when they could actually go and bypass him, going directly to Rome. The people had Roman taxes that they had to pay, plus the temple tax, which was at that time greater than 10%. However, the wealthy people, the ones who were in power, became wealthy, and they wanted to maintain the status quo. These would be the so-called Herodians. At this point, Judea became a Roman province. The religion of the Jews, however, was protected for many years. However, many of the people viewed Roman taxes as a penalty because God was angry at them. For example, Judas the Galilean, who we read a little bit about in the Bible, thought that it was treason to pay Rome, treason against God. And so there was a group that rose during this time called the Zealots. And remember that even one of these guys was one of the disciples that believed that this was an evidence that they were being punished by God and they ought to rebel. Many of these guys were rather dangerous. There was a Jewish uprising eventually in 66 AD. This, of course, was after the crucifixion and at the end of the life of Paul, probably just after the life of Paul. I think he may have died in 64 AD. It ended up in a total disaster, and the temple and the priesthood were destroyed. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Sacrifice stopped. Temple tax was shifted from supporting the Jewish temple to supporting the temple of Jupiter in Rome, but the Sanhedrin did persist. Jews then were dispersed and protected even after the war. Many Jews had been dispersed in the Babylonian captivity and were scattered through many lands, and now they were added with these other Jews. And so we find them especially in places like Alexandria, which had a large Jewish population, Cyrene, Phrygia, and Lydia. And actually, there may have been as many as 40 to 60,000 Jews at this time in Rome. Now, I will mention briefly that there was a Second Temple Judaism. This is the time of the Second Temple between 200 BC and 200 AD or so forth. And this is the Judaism of Jesus Christ, the apostles, Paul, and those who followed him. Up until the destruction of the temple, the temple was important in keeping Judaism alive, and the sacrificial system, of course, remained there. The Jews hung on to the covenant promises that were made to them. And during this time, they were waiting, of course, for the Messiah. Unfortunately, the majority of them did not recognize the Messiah when he came. During this time, there were a number of important groups formed. The Pharisees, who were the very strictest upholding the law, the kind of fundamentalists of that time. The Sadducees, they were ones who were wealthy and educated and liberal. They were particularly among the priests. The Herodians, who compromised with Rome because they made a lot of money that way. The Zealots, who were rebelling against Rome, and they were the local patriots. And then there were the Essenes, who were recluses and just tried to withdraw completely into the wilderness, sort of the monks of that period of time. Now, why were they dispersed? I believe because God did it. They were spread everywhere. During this time, the synagogue became very prominent, especially after the destruction of the temple, but even before that, even during this dispersion, they held on to their traditions and kept the Hebrew language alive. During this time, there was a strong feeling that the Messiah must come. The Jews were waiting for a deliverer, and they expected the deliverer to free them. They were in an island of a pagan sea, and they had lost a lot of the Old Testament Judaism, and they were waiting now for this Messiah to come and save them and reestablish Judaism as the primary religion then of the world. And this was the kind of background that Paul lived in. Now, do you need to know all those names of all those places? No. I want you to get a general feeling of the situation that was there, but to know exactly when and which groups were at which time, I do not believe is absolutely germane for our situation at this time. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time. We pray, Father, that you'd help us to see that God was in the business of preparing the world for Jesus Christ and preparing Paul. And give us a glimpse of the big movements that were going on prior to this time, which influenced the life of Paul. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.